We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Well, not today, Wisconsin. No Bill Michaels, but yes, to the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen filling in. Radio Joe Zanzola. Evan Heffelfinger is here. And we're talking baseball. Now, I know that's a shocker to you that I'm talking baseball, but I really need to get to the bottom of this. Is it as easy as picking sides, owners versus players, employers versus employees? We're taking your calls at 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Admirals50 talk line. Got some breaking news in just a second here with regards to some fun news regarding the Milwaukee Brewers, so stick around for that. And we say hello to Steve. Steve, you're listening there on the Zone in Madison. It's okay to disagree with me, Steve, but I will say that I'm on the owner's side.
Article on the 538 website based on Forbes and University of Michigan sports economist information. It said that under the players' proposal, they would make almost as much money as they make during a normal season, and under the owner's proposal, they would. Under the players' proposal, the owners would only lose $130 million, but the players would lose half of their income. I think the owners are being pretty greedy.
Well, I mean, on the half the income, they'd only be playing half the season.
Right, but the owners would only be half a season, too, but they'd make almost as much money under the players' proposal.
They say 40% of most of these teams' revenue comes from fans in attendance. So it's at least near the 50% mark, if indeed that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think you can believe what the owners say. I think throughout baseball history, the owners have lost every dispute with the players in front of a neutral party, and so I don't think you should take them at their word for what they say they're going to lose.
Yeah, and I've heard that before. Steve, thanks for the call. And again, Steve, I appreciate you listening to the Bill Michaels Show in Madison there. I will just say this. Let me just double down on how much I am backing the owners on this. So I'll just go ahead and double down. And this isn't anything new that I've said. I've said it on post games going back well over a decade. If it were my choice, let me preface that by saying, can we all agree that that in relation, relative to society, that professional athletes are overpaid? In relative to what we do for a living, what you do for a living, they're overpaid. Now, I don't blame the players for accepting the money. I'm all for it. Thumbs up. Someone hands me $100, sure, I'll take it. But if it were me, and again, this is nothing new, you're all making 60% less. You're just way overpaid. I know you're an entertainment entity. I know we praise you, and I do too. I look at my baseball cards and my jerseys and bobbleheads and all my little trinkets that I collect over the years with regards to the Brewers and baseball and, you know, an old Cleet Boyer glove and things like that. I praise these guys too. I look up to them. But that doesn't mean I don't think they're overpaid. But take it if you can get it. And there's a distinct difference. When you compare it to what, in this case, let's just say no pandemic. This is just normal life. And go back 2 years. Just roll the clock back 2 years. What firefighters are paid, what police officers are paid, what doctors are paid, what scientists are paid, it just pales in comparison. It does. So that being said, we're giving in this proposal, the owners, the teams, the bosses are giving you an opportunity to recoup during a pandemic 50% of what you made last year. Yet my colleagues, one of my best friends, got fired because of this pandemic. And you want full boat? When you know your bosses are taking the hit too, you got to take a hit. I'm sorry, the players got to take a hit. You got to take a hit. You got to bend. Because now let's triple down. Let's go to the far extreme. What if players piss off the owner so much? And this is probably not a legitimate fear, but a slight little wiggle in the back of my brain. The collective bargaining agreement for Major League Baseball and its union is up after next season. I think it's might be the calendar year. So December 31st of 2021, there is no agreement. What happens if they say, you know what, we're not the owners or the league, and we're not only going to wipe this out, you're being, you know, not bargaining in good faith. We're going to wipe out this season. We'll see what happens next year, but no guarantees for next year. And then we will lay the hammer down on you in 2022. And we will dramatically decrease your income. Now, again, this is an extreme measure. What do you think the players would do? What do you think the employees would do? They'd all come back to work, wouldn't they? For less money. You can talk all day long. As a player, you can talk all day long about standing your ground, and they don't have anything without us. Well, after 2 years of you not making any money, let's see how many of you come back to work. I don't want to get into the political viewpoint of what unions are and the power that they have. I'm just talking common sense because I'm not that intelligent to talk about that. I'll admit it. I'm just talking common sense as a dude, as a guy. They'll come back. They're going to come back to work. More from Ryan Zimmerman. So we left off with him saying he wanted him and his family and his kids the ability to lead a normal life, be protected from this virus. I get it. We're all with you there. Because we missed baseball for 1 year, if that ends up being the case, then so be it. Okay. Everybody needs to be tested every day. He goes on to say that he wants to know for a fact, if they go back to work, that everyone around you has tested negative. Even if we're supposed to be quarantined, someone goes to the grocery store and he gives some hypotheticals about, and we've all been through that, a hypothetical of, you know, hugging the neighbor and then the neighbor sees this, and then your hair salon, and then your nails and your tattoo. And we've all been through that. He goes on to talk about him may having it and being asymptomatic, and we've all been through that. And then he goes home and he infects the family, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll rewind and go back to the first line he said, quote, if we're going to play a season or a partial season, we are the ones that are going out into the world in the middle of a pandemic. And that, to me, offends me. He says it like he's the only one. We have to go to work. He has to go to work. And, well, he's afforded the luxury of taking a year or two off. Then I absolutely respect that, 100%. I respect that. On a lighter side, good news, good happy news. Breaking news, Evan Heffelfinger.
Yeah, breaking news, according to Adam McKelvey, Omar Narvaez and his significant other, Yisa, announced the birth of their second child today, about 3 hours ago. And a follow-up about 13 minutes ago, Adam McKelvey said, congratulations to Ryan and Larissa Braun on the birth of their third child, a son. So two sons born for the Milwaukee Brewers today.
See, now that just falls in the pocket of Brewers news and notes, doesn't it? I dig that stuff. Now they've got families to take care of. But again, if a guy has made $35 million, let's just say $25 million in a year's worth of playing baseball, and he can afford, well, obviously, I don't know his spending habits, but I would assume he could afford to take a couple of years off. I get it. I'm for it. You've earned that. They've paid you the money. Take the years off. But to sit there and say you're different as a player and to pick apart your boss's books, yet he's giving you the $25 million, I can't. There's something in me, folks, that I can't digest that properly. I can't process that. I can't tell you enough that when it comes to this pandemic, we are all the same. We're all trying to get a paycheck. And the pandemic has destroyed a myriad of things. You know, the health, let alone the lives. I mean, that's one thing, and we can all agree on that. That's excruciating. But when it comes to the economics, the day-to-day ops of businesses, we're all affected by the infection. And to think that they need to make sure that they're the ones that need to be, oh, poor guys are going out and playing baseball. And we've got guys in the radio station studio that are going to work for a little bit less money, granted. But, man, 855-830-8648 if you want to jump in here. NBA Board of Governors is meeting as we speak right now, and there's nothing really reported quite yet. But we will have that for you coming up. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer in just a few minutes. Longtime post-game guy with the fan in Milwaukee and a good friend of mine. So stick around for that. And also Leroy Butler and about an hour and a half or so. So stick around for that. Still a lot to get to. You guys want to join us? This, before the break here, this from Mark in the Wendy's inbox, Bill Michaels at BillMichaelsSports.com, fresh, never frozen, says, Tim, I disagree with you. The owners are rich billionaires and should pay their employees full rate. Full rate, Mark? Full rate. What Steve said, our last caller, that the owners are dishonest in their revenue and their balance sheets, if you will. I don't know if that's a fair statement. I'm not sure if that's fair. So we'll talk more after the break and the latest on the NBA getting back to work. That's good news. It's Tim Allen in for Bill today. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They're poised to make June another big month. Last month was huge. This time, your choice of 12 years, 2.99% APR financing, or 5 years, zero interest in 5 months with no first payment. Now, because of the record sales, they're looking to hire experienced subcontractor installers for Brookfield, Green Bay, and Madison locations. So if you're experienced as a window and door installer, Listen up. Pella is the number one nationally recognized brand. Pella has been in business for nearly 95 years. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they offer the highest pay for installers in the industry, and you get hands-on training. You work daily with project managers, and you get the job done, which means you get paid. So apply right now at PellaWI.com/career opportunities. That is PellaWI.com/career opportunities. And don't forget, if you're looking for new windows and doors, Pella is the place to go. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, your choice of 12.99% APR financing or 5 years, zero interest in 5 months with no first payment on right now through June 30th. Stop in or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com and make sure you tell them the Big Unit sent you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Let's get the latest, if there is any, on the NBA. We'll welcome in Steve Sparky Pfeiffer from The Fan in Milwaukee, longtime Bucks postgame host. As Stevie, Board of Governors meeting now. It looks like they have put together a pretty clear path to getting back on the court.
Yeah, you would think so. 22 teams will go. I saw earlier from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that there were some teams that are outside of the 22 that are none so happy that they're not going to get to play. They're not going to get to have any chance of getting some of their local TV revenue money back and so forth. And I brought that up on the afternoon show in Milwaukee yesterday on the Fan, on the Wendy's Big Show, that if you're on the outside looking in, say you're Golden State or somebody, and yeah, your team stinks, and I realize your players don't want to play, but that local TV revenue that you can get back from eight games is a good chunk of money that you can get back if, from an owner perspective, you would think you would want back. Chicago, I know Reinsdorf, he wants to come back and play even though they're out of it. Atlanta, the Hawks, they wanted to come back and play even though they were out of it. But according to Wojnarowski earlier today, he says it's still going to pass with enough yes votes to get this thing done. But I mean, they've been talking supposedly for almost an hour now and still nothing. I'm a little bit surprised that we're at this point and we still don't have anything done. The way they made it sound was that we're going to have a call and we're going to say yes, and slam that's going to be it. And if this is a slam dunk, then why isn't this done yet? So I'm a little bit concerned, but you know me, I tend to be a worrywart, so we'll see what happens.
Well, if you take the safety issues away from it, I agree with you. I don't understand why some of the teams that aren't in that playoff hunt wouldn't want to participate, just because of the symbolism that it shows here with the NBA and with our reopening underway and things like that. Plus, for crying out loud, if you feel safe, this is not fun for you. It's crazy. It's like guys not wanting to do a radio show. It's like, are you kidding me? This isn't fun for you. Same sort of deal. They might, however, if there's nothing on the line in terms of playoffs, they might feel that it's too risky to go ahead and do that. So there's two different ways to look at that.
The other thing is, I mean, just take the COVID thing aside from this, right? So now you're going to ask, say, Steph Curry of Golden State and Klay Thompson, those guys, whoever it may be, to come back and play. Well, you're going to come back and play in August. Your next season is going to start in December. The way this thing is looking like it's going to shape out is, the NBA Finals Game 7 will be October 12th if the NBA Finals goes that long. Then you're going to have the draft shortly after that. And then shortly after that, NBA free agency opens. And then training camp begins and the next season starts. You're going to have not much time at all. If you think about how normally an NBA season works, you know, the NBA Finals are done in June and you don't get back to training camp until end of September, early October. And then the season starts mid-October. So you normally get, you know, 3 months off. Even from a regular season standpoint, the season would end in the middle of April. You get even more time off. Now these teams are going to get barely any time off. Those that are of the 22 teams are going to get barely any time off before they have to get back and play again.
Yeah, I agree. And that was my fear from the start of this whole thing, as it's fluid and we all have to make decisions by shifting on the fly. But my fear from the start was any of these professional big sports to affect two seasons because of a pandemic in 1 year.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the salary cap. The NBA, there's talk that that salary cap could be greatly affected. The NFL salary cap could be greatly affected. Major League Baseball and their revenue. A guy like Christian Yelich that we've been talking about nonstop as far as have to extend him, have to extend him, have to extend him. Well, he's not trying to get extended now because now he wants to play this contract out longer than ever to try and get as far away from this as possible to get all the revenues back up for everybody so he can get the money that he earns. He goes and signs an extension now. I can all but guarantee you it's going to be significantly less than what everybody thought going in. And then you talk about the next free agency period for baseball. Yeah, a couple winters ago, it was awfully quiet and guys weren't getting what they thought. Can you imagine how quiet it's going to be this winter and how less money everybody's going to have to take that hits free agency this offseason? It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I just, the bitterness.
Like Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts isn't going to get anywhere close to the amount of money he wants.
No, no. And just it seems bitter on the baseball side. I just wonder if one of these entities, football, baseball, doesn't seem like basketball, but one of these entities would just say, I'm done. We're done. We'll see you next year. We're going to wipe it all away. We're going to reshuffle the deck, renegotiate, and we'll see you next year, next calendar year.
There's been some talk that there are some MLB owners that are fine going away from this and not playing. They think they can save some money by not playing a season, not having to play their players for a couple of months and do it from that perspective. I just think at the end of the day, if Major League Baseball is going to get their thing done, then somebody's going to have to bite the bullet on this one, whether it's the NBA or whether it is the Players Association. Somebody is just going to have to take it. The NBA owners, or the MLB owners, I should say, are already saying they're taking it in the shorts already. So that's not the issue. And the players say, well, so are we. We've already taken it enough. Well, somebody else is going to have to take another big share of this. And I don't think the owners are going to be the ones willing to move. So if the players aren't willing to take yet another cut in this deal, they're going to be out of luck and there will be no season.
But jump back in here if there's any news on the NBA front, because they were the first ones to shut it down.
Yep.
I think it's somewhat symbolic that they're the first ones to get back going. That'd be cool.
They should make Rudy Gobert make the official announcement on social media.
I agree. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That would be cool. All right, man. We'll talk to you in a bit.
All right.
There he is, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the Fan in Milwaukee, does afternoons, also longtime Bucks post. In Milwaukee. So we'll take a break here and come back. Any NBA news we'll get to. University of Wisconsin athletes are back on the field or court. Evan Flood, 247sports.com. They'll join us next as we continue our conversation. Thursday edition of the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. A Thursday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill. I appreciate Bill taking a little much-deserved time off. It helps out, domestic life, if you will. Coming up at the top of the hour, Leroy Butler, Packers Hall of Famer and soon-to-be NFL Hall of Famer, will join me. And we've done shows together. We'll have a conversation of something that's rather important to all of us. So stick around for that. Right now, Schneider Orange Hotline is where we find Evan Flood from 247sports.com as the University of Wisconsin athletes, Evan, it looks like they're back on the field in a manner of speaking and the court, right?
Yeah, per reports, they're going to be back here on June 8th, a little bit later than some of the other Big Ten programs. But it sounds like you'll be able to get back to the strength and conditioning program. You know, obviously you have to be smart about it. Sounds like they're going to start in smaller groups here with weightlifting sessions. Obviously, you know, be cautious of testing, but you know, if things go according to plan, you can start increasing the size of those strength and conditioning sessions, and you know, hopefully get these guys back on the field in a safe manner, you know, come mid-July, early August.
Yeah, no, and I like the preemptive sort of activities that says in case there is a season, things like that, of that nature, I should say. Let me ask you this: what happened to And again, I understand all of this is fluid. But what happened to, if there's no classes, there's no athletics at the NCAA level?
Yeah, I mean, I think it varies school to school. I know, you know, Michigan has taken a very hard stance on that. But, you know, I'm kind of with you where, you know, it sort of makes sense. You know, how can you have all these kids, you know, potentially not going to classes and, you know, being face-to-face with each other, and then at the same time, you know, trying, I know it's, you know, fluid, like you mentioned, in terms of, you know, how many fans, you know, there could potentially be at these games. I know Purdue said, you know, they were only planning on, you know, selling tickets for about a quarter of their stadium, which seats about, you know, 60,000. But, you know, how could you conceivably pack all these people in the Camp Randall Stadium, but at the same time say, okay, well, we're not going to have classes? So I'm sort of with you in the sense that I think, you know, one has to be with the other, but at the same time, it seemed to vary, you know, between programs across the country about how they want to do that. You know, some have taken a very hard stance and said, yeah, we're not going to have one without the other. The others, you know, have kind of gone forward and, you know, are pushing sports harder regardless of, you know, maybe where their own university stands on bringing back classes.
24/7 Sports is where you find his stuff. Evan Flood. On that note, then what happens if some want to participate and others don't? I mean, what does that do for conferences? What does that do for schedules?
That's a million-dollar question right now. And you know, like I said, you know, Michigan kind of took that hard stance, and then I think I forget who came out, you know, from their university, and you know, basically was against playing college football this season. You know, do you go forward with a 13-game or a 13-team Big Ten? You know, obviously they're not going to be alone in, you know, schools that, you know, may not want to play college football this season. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure for everyone to do so just because of you know, how much money they bring in for every university. I mean, there are a lot of universities, I should say most of them, you know, are probably very dependent on the money that college football brings in. Certainly every athletic department is dependent on college football to kind of carry the rest of the sports. So I think in the end, the pressure to play is going to be too large for someone to sit out an entire season, especially, you know, if you've got the majority of the programs going. At the end of the day, I think, you know, we will have a season. It just won't be the typical college football season we're accustomed to, maybe in terms of fans being there. And you know, certain areas of coverage as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the financial aspect of this, and that to me, it you know, some people have this philosophy, Evan. You know this, that it's always about the money, always, always, always. But you know, in this case, I think the Board of Governors have to have a plan A, B, C, D, and E to get things rolling. Whether it's, as you said, inclusion of all the schools, or if someone want to bow out, I think we should respect that part of it. But the financial aspect, was there not a report out maybe a month ago about the impact of finances with the UW system and athletics?
I didn't necessarily see that report, but yeah, like I mentioned, you know, previously, you know, I don't think it's getting talked about enough. You know, honestly, it's just the financial toll, and you know, I didn't read the report, like, yeah, you know,
sure,
says some other things about it, but you know, the financial toll, you know, not having a season, or even having a shortened season, you know, could take on these universities is huge. Now, obviously, everybody wants player safety and, you know, public safety. That's at the top of the priority list. But now you're seeing the NBA come back in July, and you know, we've already seen soccer overseas come back as well. I know, like, youth baseball starting up now. So with all that happening, you know, it's hard for me to see a scenario where, you know, we don't have some sort of a season. And I think it'll be up to a lot of, you know, the higher-minded people to come up with ways to supplement, you know, money that you may lose from, you know, a shortened season or lack of ticket sales. You know, there are other ways to create revenue. Probably won't be in the, you know, the same category as we're accustomed to, but you know, they're going to have to find ways to supplement that lost revenue in a lot of ways, because, you know, it doesn't just trickle down from the college football team. It trickles down, like I said, to the entire athletic department, and really throughout the entire university is dependent on that money.
No, and it's the surrounding areas too there in Madison, for sure. I mean, our station there, the Zone in Madison, I mean, they have these live broadcasts, and then it's all sponsored out, and that's all part of the activities that go on a Saturday home game there in Madison. So it's not just impacting the school itself, but that surrounding area. It's just a trickle down thing that is just, I don't know if it's even measurable. I don't know if you can even put the financial, hit on this to a certain amount. It's stratospheric though. There's no question in that entire area. Evan Flood, 247sports.com, here with us on the Bill Michaels Show on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Evan, one thing it could help is a little extra time in recruiting. I understand. I don't follow a kid named Jarvis out of New Jersey. I don't follow this stuff as closely as you do, but a couple of decent recruits coming in.
Yeah, you know, and like you mentioned, this kind of has helped Wisconsin in some ways. Now, they've lost some players they would have liked to get on campus, but, you know, those opportunities will resurface. Either in August or September to maybe try and get back in those races. But, you know, it's really helped Wisconsin close a lot of, you know, their top players here. And then there will be more in the coming days and weeks, just because, you know, Wisconsin has led to these guys for so long. You know, they weren't able to visit other schools. You know, Wisconsin picked up a four-star tight end in Jack Pugh, who had to take a visit to Penn State a couple days before he committed to Wisconsin. And, you know, you can't do the dead period. Can't meet with any coaches. Obviously, there's no school going on, so he's really kind of visited a dead campus. And he's really lost Penn State's ability for, you know, their head coach, James Franklin, to have a one-on-one with him and maybe sway him. And then, you know, Darryl Peterson, an outside linebacker that Wisconsin picked up, you know, he was down to essentially Wisconsin and Alabama. He didn't get to make that second visit to Alabama and have a one-on-one with Nick Saban. And that plays into the Badgers' hands. And then, you know, the guy you mentioned, Mike Jarvis, Wisconsin picked up at defensive end. Kind of a unique situation there because he never visited Wisconsin. They did some virtual visits with him. And, you know, Paul Chris is generally a guy that doesn't like to accept commitments until a prospect has actually physically set foot on campus. You know, given the COVID-19 pandemic we're in, this is a unique situation. He's obviously backed down from that now, but, you know, Wisconsin's on a little bit of a run here, up to 13 commits, and, you know, they could very well be at 15 here, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. And I guess it's got to be a tough decision for some of these kids to go ahead and not do the you know, that typical campus visit, because that is part of the allure of a program like the Badgers. It's part of the allure of being a recruited athlete to not go through that. I feel bad for some of these kids, Evan. I really do.
Yeah, it's a big part of the process. I mean, even if you're not all that serious about a school, you know, for instance, a recruit gets five official visits. You know, in reality, he's probably really thinking about two or three. But it's a unique experience to, have everything paid for, you know, your travel expenses. You get to bring your parents along, and, you know, they get to experience it as well. You know, it's a huge part, you know, whether you're doing this in the summer or during the season where you get to take those game day visits. Obviously, those, you know, will be back on presumably. But, you know, if we're talking about stadiums being less than half full, that negates the experience as well. So, and there are a lot of guys, you know, we're not talking about just because I cover Wisconsin and, you know, they're mostly recruiting 3- and 4-star guys, but a lot of guys that missed out on the spring evaluation period that needed to be recruited, that needed college coaches coming through their own high schools to get noticed, that are going to get lost in the shuffle and lose scholarships because of it as well. You know, if we're coming back in June, you hope the NCAA would, you know, just kind of open things up. You know, generally you can't go back to those high schools till the season starts. But they've missed out, you know, on weeks of evaluation period where they could have played in front of these college coaches, and now they're sitting there without scholarships and, you know, kind of an uncertain future right now too.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll get Joe Zenzola in here in just a second here, Evan. But, man, if it were up to me, the visits would be either during the Mifflin Street block party or Halloween on State Street. I'm just saying. You want to some of these guys in, show them what that's all about. Joe, go ahead.
True story, I got arrested at the Mifflin Street block party, but that's a story for
you.
Another day. Evan, I saw you tweeted about a month ago, you know, we saw these projections from ESPN, and it said that the Badgers, assuming we have a football season this year, have the fourth highest chance of getting into the college football play. It's cool that the Badgers are getting that kind of recognition, but they're losing so many players, and it starts with Jonathan Taylor. I don't know who's going to fill the void or try to make up for that running back core. What do you projection, and what are all the weaknesses that you're looking at right now on this Badger football team heading?
Yeah, there's something about that ESPN FPI, because obviously the BPI for basketball, you know, predicted Wisconsin as the national championship winner, and I think before the season they had Wisconsin as preseason number 7. So for whatever reason, you know, you would like Wisconsin, but yeah, you know, there are a lot of question marks with this team before we start talking about them as a you know, even a Big Ten championship contender, let alone a college football playoff contender. Obviously, I think, you know, being in the West plays into those rankings, because you're essentially saying Wisconsin's, you know, analytically has an easier path. And then, you know, all you got to do is get past Ohio State, Penn State, you know, as a play-in game for the playoff. You know, I'm sure that increases Wisconsin's chances there. And you probably figure, you know, a potential loss to Notre Dame on a neutral field will kill their chances. But the biggest question mark I do have is how the offense is going to restructure without Jonathan Taylor, without Quintez Cephas, without Tyler Biadasz in the middle. You know, you talk about that interior offensive line. Yeah, I would guess they move Logan Bruss inside to kind of solidify that a little bit, because they're a little deeper at offensive tackle. That'll help. But, you know, Caden Lyles, Josh Sheltner, you know, those guys aren't proven commodities. You know, is Wisconsin going to be able to control the line of scrimmage that they're, like they're used to doing? You know, Nakia Watson will go into the 2020 season as the favorite to be a running back. But, you know, again, I don't know that he showed a ton last year to make you think he's ready to be the full-time bell cow back there. And Wisconsin's got some young pieces that, you know, were really hurt by not having spring ball. They needed to get Isaac Berendo and Julius Davis touches. You could probably see those guys sprinkled in throughout the season, you know, when it makes sense. And you know, the more you put on their plate, if they respond well, you know, perhaps they can challenge Watson for some serious reps there. Then we saw in 2018, you know, how much Wisconsin's offense really lacked explosive play without Cephas. I know Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis are good wide receivers, above average wide receivers that, you know, on any given Saturday, can get you 100 yards and a touchdown. But, you know, that offense with Jack Cohn, I think we saw last season how much it desperately missed Quintez Cephas' ability to keep people out of the box and just balance things out.
Well, I can't wait to talk some Badgers football as well. And just real quick, in about 20 seconds, Evan, I hate to put you on the spot, but how do you think this is going to shake out? Do we have seasons for the basketball and football programs?
I do believe we'll have seasons. I don't believe there'll be a full capacity of fans. I'm wondering, you know, if the injury reports are all of a sudden going to show Nakia Watson out with a leg and, you know, Danny Davis out, coronavirus, something like that, you know, I think could really shake up the season. But, you know, I think with, you know, it looks like testing's coming along well, and you can test these guys enough to the point where, you know, I think you can be smart about it if you limit the amount of fans there and kind of limit, you know, just the exposure that, you know, maybe players have to other students in the classroom, you know, more online classes. I think there are ways to go about it where it still makes sense to have it.
I feel better now after that answer. Evan Flood, 247sports.com, says, yeah, he thinks it's going to happen. Evan, I appreciate the time, man. We'll talk again.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Evan Flood, and he joined us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider, right now, they work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, top of the hour, Leroy Butler and I will have a conversation. Going to be interesting. Social injustice. The backpedaling of a couple of NFL guys, Vic Fangio and Drew Brees, and what needs to be done, as we all know what's going on with the unrest. So we'll have that for you in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. Tim Allen in for Bill today, a Thursday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill today. And breaking news regarding the NBA, we bring back Steve Sparky Pfeiffer from The Fan in Milwaukee. Good news.
Yeah, good news indeed. Agent Wojnarowski says the NBA Board of Governors has voted to approve the league's 22-team format to restart the 2019-20 season in Orlando. Sources tell ESPN. NBA has also set an August 25th draft lottery date and an October 15th draft date for this upcoming season, which means that the NBA Finals does indeed play all the way out, seven games. The draft will be 3 days after the NBA Finals concludes, possibly, on October 15th. Yes, Evan.
Woj just tweeted it was a 29-1 vote.
Yeah, 29-1 vote. What, James Dolan probably had voted against it. That's probably, that would be my guess. Yeah. He's the biggest
idiot. Did they give
in the
specifics as when this is going to fire up?
Well, according to the plan that was originally out, July 31st was the day they were talking about starting this whole thing. Teams would report to their facilities for their own little camp or whatever you want to say to get acclimated again at some point early July. Then they will all head to Florida to have another abbreviated training camp, and then games start July 31st. And eight regular season games, and then the playoffs. My thing is, I didn't bring it up on the air yesterday, but I was thinking about it. Don't you have to have some semblance of an exhibition game or two or scrimmages and get these guys minutes up before you put them in there? I mean, I can't imagine you're going to have Ja Morant playing 35, 40 minutes a night right off the jump. And injury possibilities, hamstrings, all that other stuff. You would think you would have to ease it up, but maybe I'm wrong.
Lots of details, but good overall news. Good news. All right, thank you, Steven. We'll hit the break, and Leroy Butler will join us next here, Wisconsin, on the Bill Michaels Show.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.